Why are Stormont ministers arguing about public sector pension reforms? And why are there warnings of over £250 million a year being cut from public spending here because of the dispute? The row within the Stormont executive concerns their attitude to Westminster legislation. It will make public sector pensions less generous, cutting their costs. Finance Minister Sammy Wilson wanted the Westminster legislation to cover the whole of the UK, but Nationalist ministers objected, arguing instead for separate Assembly legislation. Mr Wilson has hit back, saying the delay could cost Northern Ireland £262 million, and he's on the line. Good morning.
Good morning.
As is the Sinn Féin Education Minister, John O'Dowd. Good morning to you too.
Good morning.
Well, first to you, Sammy Wilson. You know, how have we ended up in what looks like stalemate here?
I'm not really too sure. Maybe Sinn Féin can explain that. They agreed in March of this year that we would introduce the same pension arrangements for Northern Ireland as would exist in the rest of the United Kingdom. I pointed out to them that we had two routes to do this. We could either do it through our own legislation here in Northern Ireland or piggyback on the basis of the legislation which is going through Westminster. Since the outcome was going to be the same, the debate is not about whether or not we have different legislation, simply about the process of getting through that. I also pointed out that if we did our own legislation here in Northern Ireland, it was impossible to have it introduced in time for the start of the new arrangements in the rest of the United Kingdom. There would be penalties involved in that. But the Sinn Féin and the SDLP voted in the executive and blocked the rest of the members of the executive from going down the route of piggybacking on the Westminster legislation. Now, we know that regardless of what we try to do, that we are not going to meet the deadline of April 2015. The question is now, what can we salvage from this? Try and get the legislation through as quickly as possible without any delay, without any grandstanding by parties, to make sure that the financial damage that we is done is minimised.
John O'Dowd, was this agreed then in the executive?
Well, we're not at stalemate for a start. The executive has now set a course on which we are travelling. The Assembly will now be dealing with its own specific legislation in relation to pensions, which is right and proper. Yes, in March there was an agreement at the executive that, through no fault of our own and indeed forced upon us, the financial package around pensions was imposed upon the executive by the cuts being introduced by the British government. How we go about that and what our legislation looks like is completely a matter for the Assembly. It is a devolved matter, so therefore it is only right and proper that the elected representatives of the people, because there is a lot of concern out there among the public sector workers, among the trade unions and broader society about this issue, that it's only right and proper that the Assembly debate it and the Assembly vote on it. And that's what the Assembly is there for. After all, that's why we have a democratic institution in place, to bring forward legislation and take responsibility for the day-to-day lives of the people we serve.
But will you be able to change a single detail of these reforms?
Well, then, let's have a look. We were told to be able to change a single detail of the welfare reform. Well, already there has been changes made to the welfare reform.
I think we're losing John O'Dowd there. We're going to try and get him back on a better line. But Environment Minister Alex Atwood is also joining us this morning. Good morning.
Good morning, Sammy and Lisa.
And you're listening to both Sammy Wilson and John O'Dowd here, Alex Atwood. And you were obviously in that executive meeting as well. Was this all agreed back in March?
Yeah, what was agreed in back in March was that there would be these so-called Hutton proposals and that London was going to impose them. And since March, and Sammy will confirm this, I'm one of the few executive ministers that has been in correspondence with him, saying that whilst the Hutton proposals may be coming, the Northern Ireland Assembly needed to properly debate them and put through our own law. And why do I want that? What's the point in having devolution if we just hand over lock, stock and barrel major legislative powers back to Westminster? What's the point of having devolution if we end up with highly controversial matters of great concern to workers in the north being decided by London? And for those reasons, allied with the fact that there is time to put this through the Assembly, there is time to avoid these threats. And I put that, I use that word advisedly, these threats coming from Douglas Alexander about what might happen. Let me put it this way. In that executive meeting last Thursday, Sammy told us at the beginning of the meeting that we couldn't start legislating or start the legislative process in Northern Ireland until the Westminster had passed the pensions bill. In the middle of the meeting, Sammy goes off, gets advice and comes back and says, maybe we can start some of it early. So on one hand, we're meant to rely upon what Sammy's saying to us, that there's going to be these penalties of £262 million of fines if we don't pass, if this legislation isn't through before 2015. But on the other hand, Sammy comes into the meeting and changes advice in the middle of the meeting about how this thing could be handled. No circumstances. Let's assert the devolution authority. Let's challenge London in respect of pensions the way some of us are doing in respect of welfare. Let's see the colour of their money. Let's look them in the eye and let's do this right for the many, many pensioners in Northern Ireland.
Sammy Wilson.
And Lisa, that comes really rich from someone who is actually going to implement the pension scheme, which will apply in the rest of the United Kingdom for local government workers here in Northern Ireland, and indeed will have it in place because the local government scheme is funded differently. We'll have it in place for 2014. We'll be imposing the same regulations on people who work in local government in Northern Ireland for as will apply in the rest of the United Kingdom. So, you know, this kind of pseudo-rage that we get from the SDLP about we want to have different legislation, we want to have our own imprint on it, and then, of course, faithfully follow what's happening in the rest of the United Kingdom, just doesn't stack up. And could I just come back to an earlier point that Alex made?
Mm-hmm.
The advice which I gave to the executive, and it still stands, was that we could not start the legislative process until the legislation went through the House of Commons, because we wouldn't know what the legislation looked like. If we did do that, then there were two consequences. First of all, the work which was done would have to be changed every time either the House of Commons Committee or the House of Lords amended the legislation. That was wasteful in terms of money, wasteful in terms of legislative time. And secondly, to do that, legislation which was currently being done by the draftsmen would have to be set aside, some of that very important legislation, and that did not seem to me a sensible option either. So, you know, yes, of course, if we're prepared to set aside important legislation at present, if we're prepared to have draftsmen working on legislation, then changing it, then working on it again, then changing it every time it's amended in the House of Commons, not a very sensible way forward as far as I'm concerned, then it is possible, and that's why I reported to the executive.
Well, let's deal with those two points, Lisa. The first is that Sammy did come into the executive and said nothing could be done until the legislation was passed in
it should
Westminster.
Be done.
Then Sammy went out and made a phone call, came back into the building, said he'd checked up, and actually was giving us different advice. And it happens nearly every day of the week when there's legislation going through the Assembly, when legislation is changed at a committee stage and it has to be redrafted. This issue that Sammy says is going to be very difficult to resolve is actually commonplace. Let me also deal with this issue. Sammy knows.
It is not. Alex, you know full well it is not commonplace. Because if you start the consult on legislation, which is not even going to be the final legislation, then how can people say they've been able to respond to a piece of legislation which is not finalised? You go out and say to people, what do you think of this legislation? And then, by the way, this might not be what we're going to put through at all. We're going to change it halfway through, or we're only going to change it five or six times before we finally get it to the Assembly.
Well, let me deal with those points. As you note, I didn't interrupt Sammy, and for some reason he likes to cut across people. Let's deal with that point. I've put legislation through the Assembly that on the floor of the Assembly, in further consideration stage, at the very last moment when amendments can be tabled to a bill before it passes all its stages. I've tabled amendments around which there'd be no consultation, but which the Assembly's will was that the bill should be changed. So it happens late on in the legislative process or early on in the legislative process, and we just get on with it. We're able to manage it in order why to get legislation that's fit for purpose and fulfills the needs of working and workless people in Northern Ireland. Let me deal with the second point that Sammy raised about the fact that, yes, there will be, in 2014, Hutton-type proposals in place, if things go to plan, for 44,000 pension members in Northern Ireland. How are we doing that? We are doing that by, in Northern Ireland, me sitting down with employer representatives and trade union representatives and saying that in the particular circumstances of that scheme, in the particular circumstances of Northern Ireland, can we create a model that, yes, unfortunately has to live with the Hutton proposals, but does it in a way that we decide what the outcome is, that we legislate through regulations about what the outcome is, that we do our best for people in the north, especially for part-time workers, low-paid workers and female workers that make up a lot of the members of the local government pension scheme, that we decide, that we assert our authority, that we say devolution shall prevail and that we don't go cap in hand to London. I give you another reason, and I'm annoyed about this because this is fundamental to our people. And fundamental to our people, we shouldn't be handing our authority to a London government which has changed what the executive agreed in March. In March, we agreed that we would agree with the Hutton principles reluctantly. What has London now done in this bill? They have changed those proposals and given enormous powers for Her Majesty Treasury, as it is in the bill, to impose its will on our Assembly, upon me as a minister responsible for 44,000 pension holders, impose their will, whatever we think. That's very different from what we decided in March, and that's another very good reason why I would not go down the road.
Let me finish. Well, I've got a plane to catch. Is there any chance before
Alex? Alex Atwood, if we could just let Sammy Wilson in here, because he does have to go shortly. Sammy Wilson, if you could just respond to that.
I think that the long speech from Alex is a really good smokescreen to hide a simple fact. The simple fact he could have given at the very start of this, that despite all of the rage of the SDLP about this pensions legislation and their desire to do it through the Assembly so they could protect the low-paid workers and everything else, Alex is implementing the legislation which is going through Westminster to the word, and that the people that he's talking about, the 44,000 people he's talking about, will be subject to the same regulations as the pension arrangements will be for the rest of the United Kingdom. And the simple answer that I give to him and to those who are going to put us through a process, which we know, despite all his arguments about, oh, you could have started drafting legislation earlier or whatever, we know will still not meet the deadline and will cost the taxpayer money. The simple argument I would put to him is it worth incurring huge financial penalties simply to say we put this legislation through ourselves, even though it will be exactly the same as what goes through Westminster? It will have the same financial implications for the people who are affected by it, and we could have had it done piggybacked on the Westminster legislation without costing the public purse in Northern Ireland one penny. That's what this debate is all about. And, you know, he can put up the smokescreen about democracy, about devolution and everything else. There have been plenty of times when ministers in the Assembly on the nationalist side as well as the unionist side have piggybacked on UK or GB legislation when they could have put stuff through the Assembly, but for various reasons decided we would not have it discussed here in Northern Ireland. We'll let Westminster do the job. I think that where there's such huge financial risk, that's very good reason for letting Westminster do the job rather than simply indulging ourselves and having the same outcome. And, you know, let's face this, the same outcome as what there would have been had we done the legislation ourselves.
Okay, Sammy Wilson, Alex Atwood, thank you very much for joining us this morning. I think we have John O'Dowd back on the line, and you know, the point that Sammy Wilson makes there, that all we're going to do here is incur financial penalties. The legislation will be exactly the same. So, you know, as Education Minister, your budget's going to be hit.
Well, I think the only value of this morning's debate is to rectify the misinformation which is in the public domain. And we have to rectify the misinformation, then we have to move on and take relevant actions. One, how do you know the legislation is going to be exactly the same? The Assembly has the right to modify, well, amend the legislation.
John O'Dowd, is there a possibility then that you can make pension arrangements here more generous than pension arrangements across the water?
Well, we can make them more suitable to the needs of the people here than across the water. We are caught with the Hutton proposals, and the Hutton proposals are those which set the framework for the legislation in Westminster. But as I was saying to you before I was cut off, the welfare reform bill that is coming through, we were told we couldn't change that, but that was set in Westminster and you would break party. Already there has been changes made to it. There has to be more changes made to it, but the Assembly's legislative process is making a difference. Now, when we move on then to the pensions bill, we are caught within the financial constraints the British government have imposed upon us, but we can make changes to it. We can implement it in a way which suits the needs of the low-paid workers, and there's a greater majority of them in this society than there is across the water. We can adapt it to the needs of our economy and our people here. So let's not just fall into this trap because Sammy Wilson says X happens. No, it doesn't.
Well, what's your bottom line, John O'Dowd? What do you want to see changed here?
I want now to follow the path which the executive has agreed to. The executive made a decision on Thursday that the local assembly and Sammy Wilson would bring forward legislation, and the local assembly would deal with that legislation. And we'll all have to act responsibly on this. There's difficult decisions ahead for us all, but democracy is multifaceted. The Assembly plays a part of it, the wider public play a part of it, the trade union movement play a part of it, civic society play a part of it, and we've seen that healthy influence coming to bear in the Welfare Reform Bill. Let that healthy influence come to bear in relation to Pensions Bill. We have to deal with the Pensions Bill. We can't hide from it. We can't hope it goes away. It's a real issue. It has to be dealt with. I don't want to see the public sector here lose £1, never mind £260 million. And those figures have not been ratified by an independent source. That's Sammy Wilson's figures. That's Sammy who stood at his conference at the weekend and decided to be a very poorly tasted comedian's figures. So I take those with a pinch of salt, but I do not want to see the public sector lose £1 or one penny in relation to this matter.
Well, so what would you say to somebody out there, John O'Dowd, who is concerned as they're approaching pensionable age? Could we have a situation here where we have a different retirement age to across the water and have more generous pensions?
I think it's unlikely that we'll be able to change the pension age. I think, however, we can deal with the different categories in terms of pensions and wage salaries and salary points. We can deal with those sorts of matters. But this calls into another question. We're tinkering around the edges of this. What we really need to be involved in is a debate around our own fiscal powers. Where we're not looking towards Westminster to set our fiscal powers, our economic strategies, etc., that we set those, that we take on board all those powers and start making decisions which affect people's daily lives. And this is what this debate needs to turn into. Not as simply can we tinker around the edges of the pensions bill. Let's start a debate around fiscal powers coming to the Assembly, and Assembly members who are the legislators in this society start making decisions about the strategic direction of our economy, of where fiscal powers and how we use our finances going into the future, and how our public sector workers are best looked after, because they are the people who deliver the services which ministers and others make decisions about within the Assembly. So all those things have to be coming together for a debate around the totality of the issues, rather than just picking out the individual issues and saying, well, Westminster's done it, how do we deal with it? Let us deal with it from the very start.